Moedkatan, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Dalet, 3-4. Now the Mishnah continues to discuss writing on Chol HaMoed, but unlike the previous Mishnah, we'll focus on things that one may not write, at least according to some of the Tanaim here. The first is, Ein Kosvin Shtari Chov BaMoed. You can't write down like an IOU on Chol HaMoed, meaning if Reuven wants to borrow money from Shimon, Shimon can give him the money, and then Reuven will go back to Shimon after Yom Tov and write down the IOU, that shtar, chov, the contract confirms indeed that the money was borrowed. Now the reason why one isn't to write it down in Chol HaMoed is because it can be written after Chol HaMoed. What's the big deal? You can wait till afterwards. Meaning, in contrast to the previous Mishnah, where we said things like the Gittin and the shtar chalitza and Me'unim and so on, those we said can be written down in Chol HaMoed. That's because we're afraid that the witnesses, you know, won't be around later on, and these women examples I gave won't be able to, you know, have a shtar to prove that they are eligible to get remarried. But here, it can be arranged later on, and therefore it's not a problem. Now, you're about to ask, well, wait a second. Maybe the guy that borrows a cheat, and he won't agree to come back later on. So the Mishnah anticipates that, and it says, Im eno ma'amino, if the lender doesn't trust the borrower to come back later on and do a, after Yom Tov, write a shtar chov, I'll skip some words of the Mishnah. Harei ze yichtov. So then he may write it. He the sofer, may write down the shtar chov now, get a sofer to write it on Chol HaMoed, even in a normal way, because at that point it becomes a davar avid. It'll be an irretrievable loss, because if I lend you money now and I can't get a contract later on, I'll never be able to reclaim my money from you. So that would be the din. Both those are the din. You shouldn't write it down unless you don't trust, in which case you can write it down. Now I skipped some words, and the reason why is because I'll read it again now. If you don't have the Torah Shabbat Pad explanation of what the Mishnah is saying, you'll totally misunderstand it. Here the Mishnah reads again. In Kosvin Shtar Chov BaMoed, you may not write down a IOU on Chol HaMoed, Vim Eino Ma'amino, but if the lender doesn't trust the borrower, or She'ein Lo Ma'yochal, or if he doesn't have what to eat, then Hareze Yichtov, then he may write the Shtar Chov. So you would probably think the person who has not what to eat is the borrower, but that's definitely not true. First of all, that can't be the pshat, because why would it make a difference to writing or not writing on the shtar? Therefore, what's going on here in this Mishnah, on that part, is if the sofer, the scribe, hasn't got money to buy food for Chol HaMoed, so we said that one of the five categories of things that you're permitted to do that permit malacha on Chol HaMoed is the worker who hasn't got food to purchase what he needs for Chol HaMoed, for Yom Tov. So the case is something like this. The story is, you know, that this poor sofer had nothing to eat. He put up signs around the shul that said, if you need something written on Chol HaMoed, come to me because I haven't got what to eat and it's mutter for me. And then that sign was up. So when Reuven and Shimon got together and Reuven wanted to borrow money from Shimon, so then, although normally it could be done without a shtar chov, you know, Shimon, the mitzvah doer, said, I'll kill two birds with one stone and I'll lend money, which is the mitzvah, and I'll also give the sofer a parnasa. He needs the money for Chol HaMoed, so I'll hire him as well. That's the case of the Mishnah. Okay, and that would be lahalacha. Both those are lahalacha. Next, the Mishnah says, Ein kosvin svarim, you can't write sifrei Torah, tefillin, umezuzas, or mezuzah b'moed on Chol HaMoed. The reason why is because you don't need them for Chol HaMoed. And it's a, even though it's a tzorach for a mitzvah, it's to have, you know, if you're a sofer or even for yourself, it's a mitzvah, but since it's, you don't need it now, so then you can't do it on Chol HaMoed. Obviously, if you do need it now, hypothetically, there's no other mezuzahs in town, your mezuzah fell off the wall, and now you don't have a mezuzah, so of course, then you could write it if you had to. But the Mishnah's not anticipating something as weird as that. It's saying writing an additional mezuzah and so on, whether for yourself or for sale. In both cases, Tanakhama here says you can't do it. Similarly, the Ein Magiyin Os Achas, you can't correct Sefer Torah. Magiyah is like to compare one Sefer Torah against like an approved definitive text, like a codex. So you can't do that. Again, it's laborious, it's demanding and unnecessary, and therefore we don't do it on Chol HaMoed. It's tircha, it's an effort. Afilu b'sefer azara. Even if you're talking about, and actually there are three different girsos flowing around, one is sefer azara, one is sefer ha'azara, and one is sefer ezra. The gist is all the same. The gist is that it doesn't matter how important the sefer Torah you're talking about is, you don't need it on Chol HaMoed, so don't start correcting it in Chol HaMoed. The actual Shah is either a Sefer Azara or Ha Azara. That's the Sefer Torah in the temple courtyard. there was a Sefer Torah and a shul kept on the Har Habayis that the Kohen Gadol read from in Yom Kippur. It's actually referred to in the beginning of the seventh parak of Maseches Yoma. And that was important, but certainly not needed now because we're in Chol HaMoed. Let's say it's the middle of whether it's Sukkot or Pesach. It's certainly not Yom Kippur. And if we don't need that Sefer Torah now, so you can't correct it. Sefer Ezra, if that's the Girsa, is referring to the Sefer Torah that Ezra HaSofer wrote, the Ezra HaSofer, when he came back to Eretz Yisrael from Bavel. So he, really from Pras, from Persia, the truth is, he came from Persia. So he reset things up for Klal Yisrael in Yerushalayim, and he wrote a definitive Sefer Torah. They didn't call him Ezra HaSofer for nothing, as described. And that was like the definitive Sefer Torah from which they corrected subsequent Sefer Torah. Just as a total aside, the definitive text that was used in the Middle Ages is called the Aleppo Codex. The Rambam himself used that particular book called the Aleppo Codex. It was in Aleppo. Aleppo is in modern-day Syria. And that Aleppo Codex is still around. I've seen it with my own eyes in the Israel Museum in Yerushalayim. You can go see it too. The very book that the Rambam used to correct and define what the proper Nusach as the Gir says for the text for the first Sefer Torah. So something comparable to that. Okay, now that was a Tanna Kamma, but Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kosev Adam Tefillin Mezuzas La'atzmo. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, he's lenient, he says, listen, if you're writing a Sefer Torah, a mezuzah or a tefillin for yourself on Chol HaMoed, it's permitted, not for sale, because that would be work at Chol HaMoed, but for your own personal use, for a tzorach of a mitzvah, you're allowed to do melacha on Chol HaMoed if you want to, says he. It's notable that he doesn't mention Sefer Torah, he just says tefillin and mezuzas. Not perfectly clear why. Perhaps a Sefer Torah can't run a Chol HaMoed anyways, it's too big. Whatever the case is, Rabbi Yehuda is makel and says, if you want it and need it for yourself in a Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to do it. On the side point here, there's a big machlokus whether one is to wear tefillin on a Chol HaMoed. And that, of course, would change the pshat here, whether it's something he needs in a Chol HaMoed or something he wants to have anyways, because if you don't wear tefillin on a Chol HaMoed, then it's certainly not a use in a Chol HaMoed. Just a moment on that. So the basic issue revolves around this idea of this is the idea, that tefillin are called an os, a sign, as is Shabbos, as is Bris Milah. So a Jew has to have two of those at all times. So normally during the week, we have our tefillin and we have our Bris Milah, and on Shabbos Yom Tov, if we don't wear tefillin, we have the os of Shabbos Yom Tov instead. Now the question you have to ask is, well, what's the nature of that os, that sign on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Like what? How is that screaming this, you know, that there's an os, has a special relationship between Jews and Klal Yisrael and Hashem? So either it's because of the lack of malacha, no one's doing malacha, so it's like you're in Shabbos mode or Yom Tov mode, and that's a clear sign that everything's different. If that would be the pshat, it wouldn't apply in Chol HaMoed, because in Chol HaMoed we do malacha to a great degree. Others are no, like the Grah, for example, says, like the fact that on Chol HaMoed you're in sukkah mode, you have a sukkah, you have arba minim, on Pesach you have matzah. So that whole gestalt of living in the Yom Tov is enough to be an os, and therefore that'd be sufficient to not need to wear tefillin. The Mechaber and the Shulchan Aruch paskins that, and this is how the Sephardim go, that we do not wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. The Rama says yes, we do wear tefillin, and therefore many Ashkenazim do wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. The Gra said no, he went that not, and therefore in Eretz Yisrael, the overwhelming and maybe exclusive minhag in Eretz Yisrael nowadays in 21st century is that people do not wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, even Ashkenazim. In America, it's divided. Okay, putting that aside, back over here, the Mishnah finishes by saying, V'tova al yerecho techeles letzitzis. Says Rabbi Yehuda, one may also spin the threads from the fibers from the wool fibers that are taken from a sheep. You can be tova, you can spin it into threads, al yerecho, on your lap, to make the techeles, the blue threads, whether blue really truth is the halacha will be or white the same, for your tzitzis. The idea being here, you're spinning threads, tevia tova is a malacha, one of the 39 malachas, and you're doing it for the sake of a mitzvah, of having tzitzis. And Rabbi Yehuda's shita is, for tzorech of a mitzvah, one is permitted to do malacha on Chol HaMoed. And that's what he's doing over here. However, Rabbi Yehuda is saying to do it al yerecha, to do it on your lap. And the reason why he's saying that is because the normal way of making, of doing tevia, of spinning thread, is using a spindle. It's a weight, it spins, and you kind of feed the fibers into this spinning thread, and it becomes an extended thread. You have to see it to know what I mean if you haven't seen it before. In any case, His point is that by doing it ayurech on your lap, you're doing it with a shinui, in an unusual way, not normal way of doing it, a less efficient way. And his point is that while it's permitted to do a malacha on Chol HaMoed for the sake of a mitzvah, one has to do it with the shinui in an unusual way, which will allow a person to be mindful of the fact that while it's permitted to do tevia, twining and spinning for a mitzvah, it's normally not permitted. If you wanted to do tevia to make yourself a blanket, that would be forbidden. Therefore, he says, do it if you want to, it's mutter, but do it with a shinui. The halacha is even more lenient than Rabbi Yehuda, that one may write tefillin or mezuzah if he needs them, no shinui required, and similarly, one may spin threads to make his tchelis or tzitzis on Chol HaMoed, and no shinui required. You could even use a spindle, etc. That's the halacha.